This is Things I Need to Learn in Life I Didn't Learn in School, covering everything we should know as adults that got glossed over in our classrooms. With your host, Wave News anchor, Dawn G.
Thank you for joining me. Things I Need to Learn in Life I Didn't Learn in School. We talk about topics that will help you know more in life, do better, understand better, everything that you've said, well, why didn't I learn that in school? Today we're talking about careers, getting the job you want, being happy, and how to do that, especially in today's world. Right now joining me, Alicia Johnson is here from Kentuckiana Career Center. Talk about what you do and how you do it.
Sure. I am a workshop facilitator. I'm an instructor. So I facilitate workshops about job readiness, like resumes, job search, and interviews. But I'm part of a larger team who also has career coaches and ops managers to make sure that we're supporting job seekers in any way that we can so that they can find a job that works for them too.
Where are you located?
We are in the NEA Center. So it's on 29th and Broadway. It's sort of the first / second floor. You have to go upstairs or an elevator to get there, but it's really the first floor.
All right. Can anybody walk into your building?
Any adult, yes.
Okay, any adult can walk in. So we're in a place in the world right now that I don't ever think I've seen us in. Businesses don't have enough people, but people are walking away because they don't feel satisfied in what they do, or they're not being paid enough money, which is why I wanted to talk to you. So many people call and say, I don't have a resume, or I don't know how to get in and get this job that I want, or they just say, I can't find a job. So let's start at the top. If I'm looking for that job that is really going to make me happy, where do I start?
I think that means you need to do some career exploration. You need to figure out what tasks do you like doing first, and then you can start to search for job titles and positions and companies that focus on those tasks. So I would do some research maybe on YouTube or career websites like O-Net Online, MyNextMove.org.
Okay, say those again.
Yes. O-Net is O-N-E-T online, and then MyNextMove.org. When you go to those websites, you can search through careers that are in high demand right now and see specific tasks that are within those positions to see if that's what you like doing.
Okay, now I'm not meaning to make this difficult, but I want to make sure that we ask the questions they may help. And you said find the task that you like to do. What if you know exactly what you like to do, or you think you know exactly what you want to do, but you don't have the background in that, or the education, or the training? Is that even still possible?
Yes. First, yes, I think that is still possible. We talk a lot about being realistic as well. There's sort of three steps: your survival job, the job that just pays the bills while you're looking for your dream job. Then you've got the transition job. So that job is doing sort of what you want to be able to do while you're in school, in training, or trying to find a mentor. And then the third step is that ideal job.
Wow, if you were, and this may not be possible because I'm sure it's different for every person, how long does it take to get to that ideal job?
It can take a while, yes, yeah.
So we have to, again, be realistic.
Yes.
Because it's not going to happen in a day.
It might not. Right. It's important that we work our connections, we work our network. I highly recommend LinkedIn to try and find some mentors and just do informational interviews, asking people what their jobs are like, what they like doing in that position to see really if that's what you want to do. I also recommend volunteering. That's a big one to get your foot in the door and get some of that low-level experience to get you in.
All right, so let's go with the basics here. Resume. I haven't done a resume in almost 30 years, I can remember they used to say, use action words to describe what you do, and it should only be one page. And, you know, some people think that you should have an objective, and some people think you shouldn't. If you don't have a resume, or even if you do have a resume, how do you make it a great one? Because that's what they're going to see. Do you even need a resume anymore?
Oh, yes. You definitely need a resume. Anytime you're doing an application now, you'll have to have one. That's how I see things. That's been my experience as well in helping job seekers.
All right. So what should a resume look like? What does my layout, what should it be?
It should be very neat, clean, easy to read. Most recruiters are making a decision, a split second decision. And if you have typos or anything like that, you're pretty much going in the no pile. So it's really important that you're going through it and you're letting somebody else go through it as well. Maybe the Kentucky Career Center, maybe a family or a friend. And then I also really need to bring up the applicant tracking systems, or the ATS. So when we have online applications now, they're mostly going through this computer software, the applicant tracking system. And so it's now important that our resumes work to beat those bots. And so that means it needs to be so clean and so easy to read that a computer can understand what you're trying to say as well.
Oh, wait a minute. This is way new in my world.
Yes.
So when you send an application through email or however you do that, we have to get past a computer?
Not so much email, right? But when you go onto a company website like Amazon and you say, all right, I'm applying, I love this job, I want this job, they pay well, you click apply now. And then that takes you to an external website, typically with something in the name like Workday. And then if it says workday.amazon.com, that's a computer system that is scanning your resume against the job description to see, you know, those action words you mentioned. Those are now called keywords, to make sure that the keywords in the job description are also on your resume.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know anything like that existed. However, I bet the younger people did. Okay, so here's my resume. What needs to be clean, no problems in it. What are the important things that should go in that resume?
You mentioned the objective. We're moving away from the objective statement.
That's what I heard.
Absolutely. I have some opinions on it, but we can save that for later. I actually recommend a summary statement now. Again, that split-second decision. If you can make a one-sentence or two-sentence summary talking about how many years of experience you have, what your skills are, and what that field and industry is in, then you're sold. Then the next section should be your skill section. List every skill you can think of that you have, up to about 12, and make sure that they're also in the job description. And after that, work history.
All right, things are different. Should a resume still be one page?
That's debatable, absolutely, because a computer's reading it now, right? And so it's going to try and pull as much information as you can. I wouldn't go more than two pages. If you have more than 10 years of experience, you're probably going to need the two pages to make sure you can really talk about everything you bring to the company.
All right. Did I miss anything on the resume, excuse me, that they need to know?
Again, those keywords are so important. So when you are describing your work history, try and use as many action words and keywords from that job description as possible. And then if you can incorporate numbers as well, that's a huge deal. Increased retention, 70%. Increased sales, 85%. Exceeded expectations by 10%, right? All of those percentages and dollar signs are really important in making you stand out.
Well, okay. I myself am learning a lot here. Should you tailor your resume to each job? That's a lot of work, but should you?
It's a lot of work, but the way I see it, after you make that first resume and put all your work and effort into it, and you've really cleaned it up and you're happy with it, you like it, every time you find a job, all you're changing are the keywords. You've got the format down. You've got your summary statement down. You've got your skills down. Now you're going through and changing those action words to match the job description. So in short, yes, you're changing every time.
Okay, it's a lot of work, but it's going to pay off in the end.
Yes.
When I go to a job, how am I dressing?
Well, you are dressing well.
Even if I'm going to a job that may be in fast food or janitorial. But I believe, and this is all just me, you dress for the job you want,
yes,
not the job you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to bring up that statement. And that doesn't mean, right, if I want to be a nurse, I show up to my interview in scrubs. That also doesn't mean if I want to be in manufacturing, eventually a manager, eventually run my own plant, that doesn't mean I'm showing up in steel-toed boots and Dickies and jeans. I still need to dress for the part that I want, right? So we're dressing with blazers, sports coats, cardigans. Your dress or your skirt goes past your knees. Your shoes are closed-toed. You can wear, you know, bright colors and patterns. You want to show up authentically, but you still want to show up dressed well and dressed nice.
My grandfather was a stickler on shoes. Don't come in with dirty, scuffed-up shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a stickler. Like, you're not going out with those shoes. For women, like, and again, I don't know if this just changed, don't wear patterned stockings or fishnet stockings. Or it should be maybe more conservative, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. Yes, I agree with that. And then I also wanted to mention, too, can you say again what you said? Oh, clean, correct.
Yes, clean.
So you want to make sure that you're double checking what you're wearing, that it is clean, wrinkle free, yeah, no tears, no stains. And then also that you're comfortable in it, that you're confident in it. Because once you get there, they might say, let me introduce you to the team. Let me show you around the building. And so you want to make sure you're not adjusting your tie or pulling down your skirt or buttoning your shoes, right?
All right. Anything else in my appearance?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
What are you thinking of?
No, I'm just making sure. I mean, I think about it, and I only ask because things have changed so much since I've been out there. And it's important. Nobody taught me how to do a resume in school. Maybe they do that now, but nobody taught me, mm-hmm, how to dress. I just learned, I'm old, from years and years and years and years of doing it.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got our resume. We're dressed properly. I'm ready for the interview. I'm sweating bullets. I don't even know what to do. What are we doing in the interview? Give us some clues that will make us stand out if we get that far.
Yes. If you want to talk about change, interviews are where they've changed. So it's not always just the traditional one-on-one hiring manager and candidate anymore. Sometimes it's a panel of interviewers. You've got the HR person. You've got the manager supervisor. You've got the hiring manager. You might even have a future coworker there on the panel interviewing you at the same time. You want to be prepared for those in thinking about respecting everyone in the room, giving attention to everyone in the room, because there's no longer just one decision maker. And then thinking about virtual interviews, right? So we've got those Zoom interviews, you've got the phone screenings now. Getting prepared for those looks like getting a headset if you need one, ensuring you have signal and service and a good charge on that device so that it doesn't die or lose signal in the middle of your interview. And then you also want to make sure that your background, you're paying attention to your background. You can, on some video software sharing services, maybe blur it out. But if you're doing it in your bedroom, make your bed. Recruiters are paying attention to the choices you make about where you're doing those. So make sure you're in a quiet space with limited distractions and make sure the lighting's good. But when it gets down to standing out, you want to practice those questions as much as you can. Think about what job you want and think about how you can stand out, usually by telling stories. These days, they're asking questions like, tell me about a time when you showed initiative. Have you heard those?
Oh, I'm not interviewed for, I've interviewed people.
Yes.
For the last 30 years, I've never been interviewed. And I would think that that's really hard because during the pandemic, we had people that were in positions who had been there for years and that business closed. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is so important too. You've got people my age who are not done working yet. You know, maybe they don't even have their 401k. Maybe they didn't save for retirement. So they have to go back into the workforce. So I've never been interviewed by a panel. I have never been interviewed on Zoom. So this is all different. For the younger people, they probably think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I did a talk on Zoom once, and I'll be honest here, I didn't think about my dogs. Hmm. Well, in the middle of it, I'm holding my phone up and it's going really well. And all of a sudden you hear rah, 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 in the back because they're wrestling. And in my mind, I started thinking, oh my God, I should have put them outside.
Exactly.
So all of that we have to think about.
Yes, far in advance and ahead. And two, if you're currently at a job and you're thinking about leaving, then you have to pay attention to where am I going to do my interview, right? Are you going to do it at your desk? Are you going to step outside? Recruiters are paying attention. They'd rather you not be outside because of wind or buses and cars and horns and all of that. So yes, you have to think really far ahead in getting ready for those.
My goodness. Also, I was talking to someone that does hiring, and she said her main pet peeve is when she maybe asks people a question like, so what do you think about our whatever it is? And that person is like, you're what?
Mm-hmm.
Like knows nothing about the company. If you're walking into a company, part of getting ready, I believe, and she's the expert, part of getting ready is knowing about the company you're going to talk to.
Yes. You have such a great benefit by researching the company beforehand. That informs the questions you can ask at the end of the interview. Interviews don't need to be interrogations anymore where the hiring manager gets to ask all of the questions. You as a candidate should be able to ask questions as well about whether you want to work there and how they're going to serve you. So do that research. Find out what other people say about that company. Find out if they've been in the news and then write those questions down to ask. You also, another benefit you can get, you can look at their mission, their vision, their values, who their customers are, what are their principal core values. That way you can bring those up in your answers, right? And then it shows not only did I do my homework, but I'm a good fit for you too.
Okay, so we talked about what we should do. There got to be some no-nos. What is there anything that you go, please don't do that. Don't do that, you know, if you're trying to get a job. That's one question. I want to go ahead and ask the second question to make sure I don't forget it. I also heard that as a new hire, a possible new hire, companies might look at your social footprint, that social media post that you've been putting up.
Yes.
So what are the don'ts? And what do we need to watch out for now that the world has changed into all this social media?
Yep, hiring managers are going to Google you.
Oh.
They are. They're going to see if you're on LinkedIn that I mentioned earlier. They're going to see how you talk about your job on Facebook. They're going to see what you tweet about, what movements you support. And if you show up on those social media platforms as a negative Nancy, just always complaining, they may not want to bring that energy into their company. So I usually recommend either set it to private or don't say it at all. And then some other things not to do. You don't want to ramble on in your interview. That's why it's so important that you practice beforehand. You want to make sure you know what you're saying so that way you can say it well. Some other things to avoid, don't ghost the interviewer. If you, for some reason, need to reschedule that interview, let them know as soon as possible. Hi, I have a schedule conflict. Can we reschedule? And that's it. You never want to just not show up. You will not get that job. Everything we do is free. We will help you with your resume. We will help you with job leads. We even have supportive services if you need boots or scrubs or eyewear, transportation assistance. We can do it all.
And is there, like, what if somebody comes in and maybe they have a great job and it pays well, they're just not happy. So they're doing well. They're making a lot of money. Can someone like that come in and just say, I'm looking for something different?
Yep. They can come in too. We'll work with them. We are flexible on what time works for them. We can do phone call. We can do Zoom. We can do in person. Whatever works for that person.
And this is an employee's market right now.
It is, yeah.
Talk about that for a second.
Just a little bit. So, again, that labor market information is showing that we have more jobs than we have job seekers. And so you get to go out and put as many applications out and try and get as many bites back to make a decision about where you want to be rather than where you have to be, where you don't have to feel stuck in a box anymore. This is where all my experience has been, so this is where I have to go next. That's not necessarily true. You can fight for that transitional job or even that dream job.
Okay, give us those websites again.
Yes, mynextmove.org and then ONET, O-N-E-T, online. And then our website is KCCLOU. So that's KCCLOU.org.
All right, and your location?
We are in the NEA Center on 29th and Broadway. It is the TARC Center, so if you're riding the bus, you'll land in the back. And if you're driving, you can also park in the back. So you'll go in that back door and up the stairs or elevator to the first floor.
All right. And this is open to everyone?
Open to anybody and everyone above the age of 18.
Wow. I appreciate what you all do.
Thank you.
Working with people and getting that resume, because it makes your heart kind of really go fast.
Yeah.
when you want that job. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do well for your family.
Yeah.
All right. We didn't miss anything else?
No.
All right. I thank you.
Thank you.
Alicia Johnson here from the Kentucky Career Center, and they do so much. You can have that job. You can have that happy work-life balance, so I hear. You can have all of that. Hopefully, you'll be back with things I need to learn in life I didn't learn in school. And hopefully you've learned today how to get that perfect job. Thank you.